So it is my honor to introduce our distinguished speakers for today. Sorry about this, got some stuff here. Okay, today's speakers, we are thrilled to have Dr. Celeste Carter, the lead program officer from the NSF Advanced Technological Education Program. Joining her is Dr. Charlene Dukes, who is a co-PI on the Community College Presence Initiative in STEM Education Project. That's a mouthful. We usually say SIPPY. She is President Emeritus of Prince George's Community College in Largo, Maryland. Joining her is Dr. George Boggs, co-PI on the project, President Emeritus of American Association of Community Colleges, Superintendent and President Emeritus of Palomar College in California. I'm serving as today's moderator. My name is Elizabeth Hawthorne. I'm a co-PI and I'm a senior professor emeriti at Union College in New Jersey. So without further ado, I'd like to turn it over to Celeste.
Thank you very much, Dr. Hawthorne, for the introduction. And it's a real pleasure to be here. I always get excited talking about the Advanced Technological Education Program. And I think that this particular project has a very, very special role to play in the program itself. Many of you may know, or some may not, that in 1992, NSF was directed to develop this program following the passage and signing into law of the SATA, or Scientific and Advanced Technology Act. What some of you may not be aware of is that for the very first time with the passage of the CHIPS Plus Science Act, which I'm sure you've all been talking about because there's a lot of money and a great deal of interest in our sector of the workforce, reauthorize the ATE program with a reauthorization to potentially double the budget of the program. It is currently this year at $76 million. Reauthorization does not mean that we will be given that money, but it at least gives the appropriation committees the option to increase the budget of the program. And going along with that, as far as the CHIPS and Science Act, you also know that there is a tremendous need across the United States for students that you may have heard the term middle skills workers, blue collar STEM. I think the most recent one and the one I usually used is the skilled technical worker. So this would be a person who works in the STEM enterprise and does not necessarily need a four-year baccalaureate degree. Could be a two-year associate's, which fits right in with our sector of the educational system, as well as potentially these days, maybe micro-credentials or a set of industry certified validated certifications, you know, that sector of the workforce. I will say that, interestingly enough, the National Science Foundation, through their National Center for Science and Engineering Statistics, had actually never gathered data on this sector of the workforce. And this started just a couple of years ago at the urging of a special task force from the National Science Board, led by Dr. Victor McCrary, who is very interested in this sector of the workforce. And in collecting data now, their first STEM labor workforce report shows that by counting the students that do not have, or the workers, I should say, that do not have a baccalaureate degree in the STEM ecosystem, they doubled the size of the STEM workforce in the United States. So it increased by more than 20 million. So I think with that, the need that industry is telling all of us about, whether it's technicians in the biotechnology area, advanced manufacturing, mechatronics, all of the different areas that are supported by the ATE program, we have a big goal really set in front of us and a great opportunity to reach all of the students who walk onto our campus. I know one of the things, a quote I borrowed from Dr. Mark Mitsui, current past president of Portland Community College, talent is universal, opportunity is not. And having been a community college faculty myself in Northern California at Foothill College, I would say that this is absolutely true. We have a tremendous number of students. All of our students really have tremendous potential, and they're here on our campuses for very distinct reasons and goals. And I know that we all want to support them in reaching those goals. And I'm hopeful that in reaching out to all of you, the CCPI will support that and also really enrich even the programs we have for growing community college leaders. So with that, thank you all for being here. Thank you for joining this really important project. And let me turn it over to Dr. Charlene Dukes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Carter. And you know, we would be remiss if we didn't actually thank you again for your ongoing advocacy for the nation's community colleges and the students that we serve. Being with us today on this webcast, we think is indicative of your commitment to making available grant funds to support innovation and transformation in our sector of higher education. I do want to say good afternoon and greetings from the East Coast, and that the goal for CCPI STEM, as we call it, is simple in nature. We want to ensure that as part of this project, community colleges have access to all of the resources available that are designated to support your participation in the grant program. You may not be aware of this, but the National Science Foundation program has provided more than $1 billion to community colleges over the last 25 years. And we want to make sure that we receive another $1 billion plus dollars over the next few years as we work to ensure that the workforce is not just available, but also diverse in its equity and inclusion of all people across the United States of America. So as we think about the rationale for the program, it certainly will echo some of the language that you've already heard from Dr. Carter, but skilled technical job openings in the United States are projected to exceed the skilled technical workforce by 1.3 percentage points, or about 3.4 million employment opportunities. We know that there are 16 million skilled technical jobs that require an associate degree or a similar level credential or qualification. The number of jobs requiring substantial STEM expertise has grown nearly 34% over the past decade. And all of us see that as we work within our particular geographies and our institutions. We know too that 69% of all STEM workers identify as Caucasian or white. Only 7% of African Americans indicate that they are working in the STEM field, and they are joined by about 7% of all Hispanic Latino workers in the STEM workforce. So what we know is in the universe that we serve, community colleges, given our history, are primed to fill the growing needs in the skilled technical workforce. Why? Because we serve the most diverse student body in higher education and all of higher education. So we can play a significant role in diversity, equity, and inclusion in the STEM fields. 51% of community colleges are taking college credit courses in our institution, and they are students of color. That's what's most important, that 51% of the community college students taking credit courses are students of color. So we have an opportunity and a responsibility to strengthen our curricula, to support our faculty, to positively impact the growth and diversity of the STEM technician workforce. So I'd like to introduce Dr. Boggs.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dukes, and hello, everyone. The strength of our initiative is greatly enhanced by the partnerships and collaborations that we have. At the end of our initiative, we hope to have collaborations with at least 80 of our nation's community colleges to move forward to develop stronger STEM, in particular STEM workforce programs. But we do have significant partnerships with the major national community college associations, including the American Association of Community Colleges, the Association of Community College Trustees, and the League for Innovation in the Community College. In addition, we have a strong interest and support from the nation's most important community college leadership doctoral programs in universities throughout the country. And we've had strong expressions of interest from leadership institutes, those sponsored by the Affiliated Councils of the American Association of Community Colleges, the League for Innovation in the Community College, and even some state and regional and college leadership institutes. So we really appreciate the support that we had and hope to build upon that. And now I'll turn this back to Dr. Dukes.
Thank you. Thank you so much, George. And you know, there are some critical building blocks throughout this process. And we believe that community colleges, again, are well situated to take advantage of them. Some programs that will help you as you think about your own capacity to actually write for, apply for a grant. And what we hope is at the end of that process that you are actually the recipient. So Beth, why don't you talk to us about these critical programs that are designed to support community college administrators and faculty?
I'll be glad to. Thank you, Dr. Dukes. So the American Association of Community College and the ATE community puts on a principal investigators conference every October in Washington, D.C. This has been going on for about 30 years now. Also, AACC runs a MentorLinks program, which is designed to strengthen technician education. If your community college is not quite ready to submit a proposal to ATE, but like to either develop or strengthen a technical workforce program, then apply to MentorLinks. They're two-year programs. And it's a very easy application. Mentor Connect is the first of the mentoring initiatives. They started in 2012, and their tagline is mentoring all STEM faculty that transforms technician education. Force ATE, fortifying cybersecurity and computing education through ATE grants, is a mentor coaching initiative that focuses on training community college faculty to develop competitive NSF grant proposals for workforce education in cybersecurity and computing. Mentor Up is very similar to Force ATE. They are another ATE mentoring initiative for two-year colleges with a focus on technician education in the sciences, such as biology and biotechnology. Project Vision collaborates with two-year colleges to build capacity in their STEM workforce endeavors and to empower them to pursue funding from the NSF ATE program. And last but not least is Pathways to Innovation. They operate the Built Academy and Grant Seeker Academy that mentors community college teams to build competitive ATE proposals for implementing innovative programs responsive to employer needs. More information about all these programs can be found on our website under the resources link. Now, Dr. Boggs.
Thank you, Dr. Hawthorne. So this slide is a graphical representation of the project. And at the center of our initiative are regional networks, where we hope to engage colleges throughout the country through specific interactions regionally. Guiding the project is the leadership team and the National Advisory Board. And you'll be introduced to all of these groups throughout this presentation. So we have a number of collaborative efforts that we're engaging the regional networks in, involving business and industry, as well as college partnerships. We have a fellows program that we'll be telling you a little bit more about shortly that we hope to raise the profile of community college STEM workforce programs in general and accurate research involving those programs. We are developing modules through our curriculum development process that will be used in community college leadership doctoral programs and leadership institutes throughout the country. There are, of course, a number of initiatives that the regional networks are engaged in, and they are sharing ideas across the country. We are producing STEM guides for the use of our regions and our colleges. We will be hosting an annual summit every year, beginning this year. And we will be engaged in an economic impact study to show the regional and local impacts of these kinds of programs. So now back to Dr. Hawthorne.
Take myself off mute. Thank you, Dr. Boggs. We have a very comprehensive communication and dissemination strategy. We have an email address. You can see that on the screen, leadership@ccpistem.org. It comes in there and we will funnel it to the appropriate component. As Dr. Boggs mentioned, there's a lot of moving parts, the SIPI. We just launched our first inaugural issue of President's Press. It's a quarterly e-newsletter. Some of you may have already seen it, but that will be posted on our website shortly. We have lots of publications and dissemination materials. This is our first of many webcasts, podcasts to come. We have a map of the regional networks that are developing as we speak. We'll have a map a little bit later. You can look at the bios and photographs of all the project team members, the RN chairs, and the fellows. We also are collecting resources about ATE, such as the mentoring initiatives that we spoke about, as well as other STEM resources and articles. We have just launched our social media communication strategy. You can see our Twitter handle is there, as well as our LinkedIn account. So if you want to follow us, please do. Okay, and then it's back to Dr. Boggs.
Thank you, Dr. Hawthorne. So a little bit about our work. We are, of course, as Dr. Dukes mentioned, very much focused on enhancing the capacity of our community colleges to develop these programs, and in particular to secure the funding from the NSF ATE program to support the development of the programs. We will be providing materials. We actually are providing materials to the RN chairs, the regional network chairs, for dissemination throughout their regions. And of course, we are very focused on engaging boards of trustees and presidents and other senior administrators throughout the country in the work that we're doing. And we have already begun to disseminate information at conferences and other convenings regionally, nationally, and even locally. So that's the work that we're doing. And Dr. Dukes.
Yes, thank you. As we work through this, you see the regional network chairs, and we've talked about the fact that in the diagram that you saw earlier, we are doing our work by region. So we have some of, and I know that you will recognize all of these individuals, Dr. Ann Kress, who is the president of Northern Virginia Community College, Dr. Dan Phelan, president of Jackson College, Dr. Ed Massey, who is president emeritus of Indian River State College, Dr. Frank Chung, president of Santa Rosa Junior College in California, Dr. Pam Luster, who is president emerita of San Diego Mesa College in California. And we've been joined just recently by Dr. Jennifer Wimbush, president emerita of Cedar Valley College in Texas. All of these individuals are working with us, serving as regional network chairs. They are assigned to various states across the United States and our territories. And what you will note is that they will be the points of contact depending on the state that you're in. So if you go to ccpi-stem.org and you hover over the map, you'll see the states that each one of them is responsible for. We're doing some updates, so if you will allow us probably about 48 hours, you'll have all of the information there, but they will be your conduit to CCPI STEM and all of the support programs that Dr. Hawthorne spoke about earlier. So with that, I think that I am also going to introduce the National Advisory Board. And again, these are individuals with whom many, if not all of you, are well acquainted. Dr. Sylvia Jenkins, who is the president of Moraine Valley Community College in Illinois. Dr. David Harrison, president at Columbus State Community College in Ohio. Dr. Annette Parker, president of South Central College in Minnesota. Dr. Rufus Glasper with the League for Innovation in the Community College, and former Chancellor of the Maricopa Community College District, and Mr. Jihang Li, the new President and CEO of the Association of Community College Trustees. What is so important about each of these individuals is what has been their long-term and ongoing commitment to STEM education. They are some of our institutions in the community college sector who have received the most grants from the National Science Foundation's ATE program, and they continue to innovate and transform their institutions through the utilization of these funds. And then with our partner associations, that is the way that we stay in touch. That is one of the ways that we stay in touch with all of you and can provide ongoing information about our work and your ability to participate in our work. So I'll turn it back to you, Dr. Boggs.
Thank you, Dr. Duke. So one of the unique and I think most exciting aspects of our initiative is the Fellows Program. I think we all know that most of the research done on community colleges is actually done by university researchers who may never have been in a community college. So we are very happy to be supporting the work of doctoral students who are actually doing research in the STEM workforce area. And coordinating this work for us is Dr. Ashok Agrawal, a very experienced STEM professional himself and community college educator. He's done some great work in getting this program launched for us. And the next slide actually shows who our first, the members of our first cohort. We're very excited to announce them. We have Bethany Sansing Helton from Wisconsin, Buffy Quinn from New York, Dee Dee Griffith from Texas, Emily Halverson-Otts from Arizona, and two Californians, Eugene Mahmood and Michael Silva. So we're very excited about the work that these folks will be doing. They will be working not only through their universities with their major professors, but also they'll be working with mentors who will be helping them to expand their work and bring a greater profile to the work of community colleges in STEM workforce. So the next slide actually talks about the work that we're doing to develop the modules that will be inserted into leadership development programs and institutes across the country. We realize that not all of our community college leaders are going to have backgrounds in STEM. And certainly a lot of them will not have backgrounds in fundraising or how to develop grant proposals and how to get the support in your institution from your faculty, from your boards of trustees, and from local business community. So we have two folks, very experienced people helping us to develop the curriculum that will be in these modules. Shane Kirby, who is the Director of Advancement Partnerships at Columbus State Community College in Ohio, a very experienced person with grants and fundraising, and Angel Rodriguez Rivera, very experienced science educator at Broward College in Florida. So let me turn it back to Dr. Dukes.
Thank you. And it's my pleasure to introduce our leadership team, many, if not all of whom are with us today on this webcast. And I should have mentioned that I believe at least 90% of the regional network chairs are with us today. And we want to thank them for their work in laying, quite frankly, the ground game. And they really support our ground game across the region. So Dr. Clayton Raley, who is the Executive Vice President and Provost at Prince George's Community College, is the principal investigator. And in case any of you believe that there is no life after retirement or moving on from some of our professional positions and what we used to call our day, evening, and weekend work, you know that Dr. Boggs is a co-principal investigator. I am a co-principal investigator. Vera Zdravkovich is the Vice President for Academic Affairs, the former Vice President for Academic Affairs, and has emeritus status from Prince George's Community College. Our moderator, Dr. Elizabeth Hawthorne, is a senior faculty emerita from Union College in New Jersey. Dr. Elizabeth Tellis, our senior advisor, again, was one of the directors of the NSF program until her retirement in 92, and she retired in 2009. But she continues to really tout the work of the National Science Foundation and just how committed we are to be as we pursue these STEM grants to support our students. Blake Urbach is our external evaluator, and she has extensive experience in evaluating federal grants, and we quite frankly are lucky to have her. Calvin Stansberry is the project specialist. He is the Dean of STEM at Prince George's Community College. And Fran Melvin is our project manager extraordinaire with a team of individuals. She does a number of the operational work for CCPI STEM. Their photos, all of our photos and bios are on the website. And again, we just encourage you to visit the website and explore the wealth of information that's out there for you, including the states that currently have NSF grants, the amount of those grants. And the one thing that we know is about only 20% of our colleges are participating in the NSF ATE program. We want to double and triple that percentage before we get to the end of this grant cycle. So, you know, our intent today was not to keep you long. It was to give you information to whet your appetite and to really open the floor to take your questions. Now, I will tell you, we're going to do two things at once. And that means we're going to both walk and chew gum. So we want to take your questions. You can put them in the chat, and Dr. Hawthorne will either read your question and direct one of us to answer it, or she may call, ask you to unmute and ask your question. And at the same time, we're going to have some poll questions. So that's the second part of our chew gum and walk at the same time. And we would ask you to respond to the poll questions. That will help us as we continue to determine the ways in which we can support you. So Dr. Hawthorne, I'll turn it to you for the, if you wanna announce the polls and then tell us how we might proceed.
Sure, the polls should be on your screen right now. And I think I'm sharing that, and the responses are coming in fast and furious. So we appreciate that feedback. And I know that our external evaluator, Blake, will do that. So we have a couple questions, Dr. Duke. When I hover over Tennessee on the CCPI map, I do not see a contact name.
So what we will tell you is that we are still in the midst of bringing on regional network chairs. So we do expect within the next several months to identify another round of states where, again, we'll have a regional network chair. In the interim, what we want you to do is go to our website. When you get to the homepage and you look at the top right of the screen, there is there are the two words, request info, highlighted in yellow. Please click the box, send us, complete the form, and then we will reach out to you. So thank you very much for the question.
Okay, we have another very good question. How do I know if my college is participating in the CCPI STEM program?
Well, what we'll do is you would need to, if you go to the same site and just send us that question, we'll respond to you. And we're also going to keep a running list of what I would call information so that as we continue to really seed the regions across the country, we will then have your information so we can give that new regional network chair information to be able to reach out to you. We also have a number of what we call a regional coordinator, and that person is also helping us to manage the information on the website and let us know when we need to make sure that we're providing information to you about the program. I would say today, you don't have to necessarily be in the region today if we have not yet determined what those states will be, but we can provide you information about the programs and that will service you and your institution as you think about moving forward in the NSF ATE grant process.
That's all the questions that we have. Oh, wait, we have a late breaking question here, sorry. How will I get the slides for this presentation? Would you like me to take that one,
please,
Dr. Dukes? Sure. Please. So the recording and the slides will be posted on our website. Give us a couple of weeks to get the recording up, because what we do is we send it off to an audio engineer to put our branding, wrap our branding around that. So just come back in a couple weeks and you'll see that, or send an email to leadership at ccpistem.org. And you'll see that on the bottom of the screen here, and we can email it directly to you if that's your preference.
It seems we have another question too, as you can see, Dr. Hawthorne, about the scholar, the fellows program. So
yes, does George want to answer the fellows? Okay. Is the goal of the program to bolster faculty and research at community colleges, or can ATE funds be applied directly to program development? We also may need assistance. Yes, Dr. Carter, thank you.
Yeah, when I read that one, I thought I should speak up here. So, so really, ATE is one of the very unusual programs at the National Science Foundation that focuses very much on workforce development. So this is not, we do have a track in the program for applied research. What have we learned over the 30 years this program has been around about best practices for educating the skilled technical workforce? But if you look at the solicitation, and if you go to the nsf.gov's website and literally just put either ATE in the search box on the upper right-hand corner, or the current solicitation number, which is 2121-598, it will take you right to the program. And you'll see that actually it isn't just faculty professional development or research at community colleges. It's developing new programs. It's being aware, working with your local and regional industry. What are their needs for workers due to the fact that technology is so rapidly changing for, I think I could almost say across the boards, any industry sector, the technology is changing, and it's changing the knowledge, skills, and abilities that students need if they want to be prospective employees in that sector. So developing new programs is absolutely supported by ATE. Enhancing an existing program. You can purchase equipment through this program. You can do teacher professional development around career and technical education through this program. So there's a whole wealth of opportunities within the ATE program. And I'd encourage you to go to the solicitation and read it carefully and work with your faculty. Beth, back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Carter. We got some really great questions rolling in here. One is from Stephanie Gray. What considerations have you all made for small rural community colleges to be able to engage in our project in SIPPI? Dr. Dukes or Dr. Boggs?
What we have been discussing, I will say, is that we understand that all colleges won't necessarily be able to individually or singularly apply for NSF ATE grants. So we're encouraging institutions to do the same thing we did, if you all recall, several years ago with the TAC grant, to form collaborations where you can rely on faculty across institutions. You can develop a project that will benefit both institutions. You can use the capacity that you create when you collaborate with more than one, when you collaborate with two or more institutions, and you can apply for NSF ATE grants in that manner. The other thing we would encourage, and again, we've already said that we'll post a slide and all of the information about those support programs are on the CCPI STEM website, but you can look at the definitions of those programs, the kinds of services they provide, and determine that you might benefit first from attending one of those programs, being a part of those cohorts that will help guide you through the process. And we think that that's what's really important. As you all know, for those of you who have applied for grants or received grants, there's a whole new language, a whole new jargon in the grant world that we need to be aware of. And we want to make sure that you are as educated and as schooled as possible when you begin to put pen to paper, or to be certainly much more up to date when you go on your computer and you start to fill out those forms, that you know what NSF is looking for when they are going through the review process to determine who is going to keep moving forward in the process. So allow us to provide you with support through these programs that will make you as viable a candidate as possible when you determine that you are ready to begin the grant application process. I think that there was another question around the goal of the program. Is it to bolster faculty and research at community colleges, or can ATE funds be applied directly to program development? And that might be an question. So I don't know, Dr. Hawthorne, if you want to take it or if we want to ask Dr. Carter to take it.
I think Dr. Carter.
Right. But I would like to add that literally not even in this current solicitation, but the ATE solicitation is usually active for 3 years. So this current solicitation has one more round of submissions in early October of this year, 2023. But even in the prior solicitation, we actually had a special call for small rural community colleges to submit to the ATE program. So the program has a pretty good portfolio right now of rural college awardees. And I think if you went to our nsf.gov site again, at the top of every page, there's a blue ribbon that runs across, and you'll notice that there's a tab called awards. If you tap on that and go to the awards database, you could actually search for ATE as the program and rural, and you'll pull up that portfolio. And I know from working for so many years with the community, people are very willing to help you if you have not come into this program before, but you know someone who has and work with you. As far as forming collaborations, it's a great idea. It may or may not be what you want to start with, but there is a new track in the program that directly relates to developing a consortia. So if two institutions are working together to build, maybe a new program or update programs at both of the campuses, you can actually ask for an award of up to $1.2 million. If three colleges are working together, the award size goes up to $3 million. So again, read the solicitation, look through the tracks and see what you would like to start with. I think the other important point to make is those mentoring programs that Beth went over and that Dr. Dukes just talked about specifically relate to providing you with a person with a lot of expertise in the ATE program who will mentor your team, your faculty and administrator, grant writer team, in actually crafting a proposal, understanding the whole process of submitting to the ATE program.
Great, thank you. We have another question that was sent directly to me, so you might not have seen it, Dr. Dukes. Is there a limit on the number of institutions that will be accepted as a member of this network, SIPPI network?
So what I would say is that what we are hoping is that maybe we were being a little modest in our intent to have at least 80 of our the nation's community colleges be a part of the network. I think that we would be delighted if the number was more than that. I would dare say that Dr. Carter would too, because it means that we're getting the message out and there is tremendous interest in being able to come together and collaborate or just find out information about the program and understand where the resources are to be helpful.
Okay.
I think there's a question. I don't know if you saw it. It may be a few messages up in the chat, but there was a question about the Fellows Program and Cohort 2. Thank you. So you did see that.
Mm-hmm. And I think maybe we could push that one over to Dr. Boggs to talk about the Fellows Program, or Ashok. Would we like to have Ashok come off mute and talk about it?
Sure. I think we can turn it over to Ashok. We do hope to open up opportunities for the second cohort. So, Dr. Agrawal.
Thank you very much, Dr. Boggs. Yes, the second cohort application will be ready to be shared with everyone sometime in late March. And we'll hope that we'll begin to receive applications in April, May timeframe. And like last year, we like to have a new cohort selected and ready to go by mid-November. And again, those of you who are interested in specific, or you may have specific questions about the Fellows Program, I posted my email address a minute ago and also available on the website. Please send me a direct message so I can respond to your specific question. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that is all the questions.
Well,
the
there
chat?
Is one. There
is another
was
one?
A question asking us, does an institution have to work with a regional network, or can it apply directly to the program solicitation?
So that one might be another one for me.
Yes.
Yeah, you absolutely do not have to work with a regional network, but absolutely in the end, you will be applying directly to the program solicitation, right? You're not going to come in through the regional network, but think about the wealth of resources that you have with these regional networks. A lot of times, sometimes it's questions, should the president of our college be the principal investigator on this project? Well, you could send that to any one of the ATE program officers, but you could also take advantage of the regional network that you have through CCPI and have a whole cohort of people that you can talk to about the kinds of questions that crop up like that. And I'll answer that one directly since I asked it. Please, we appreciate presidents supporting the projects, but we know they are not the people with the boots on the ground working with the students. So ATE really looks to be a faculty-driven program. We're happy to have deans, presidents, vice presidents supporting the project, but we are expecting that the faculty are the people that really are in the classroom, in the laboratory, working with the students, hopefully working with industry partners so that the program is really responsive to industry needs. And that's one of the things that reviewers will look for. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that response, Dr. Carter. And I should say, as you know, we know that you are all busy people. So we planned this webcast with the intent that we would be as short as possible, but provide you with all the information that you need. Thank you all for completing the poll questions. And I also want to thank you all for giving us some amount of your time this afternoon. You see in the chat where if you have any additional questions and on the screen that you can send those questions to leadership at ccpi-stem.org. And we really thank you for your time and your attention this morning. Glad to have you, and we'll be delighted to work with you over the course of this grant.